Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Buffalo, New York, and earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from Cornell University and a PhD in psychology from the University of Michigan. Since 1980, he's been the owner of Entheus LLC, and since 2007, he's owned the Black Pearl Restaurant in Ann Arbor. Today, he is an executive coach and the author of Secrets of the Obvious and Be the Sun, Not the Salt. His name, Dr. Harry Cohen. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Harry Cohen, whose latest book is entitled Be the Sun, Not the Salt. Harry, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Oh, my goodness. Of course. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, the third child, the only son to Millicent and Herman Cohen, who I loved dearly. They were great parents, middle-class parents, and my father owned a knee high bottling company in Buffalo, New York, RC Cola, Diet Right, Dad's Root Beer, and Knee-High, and I drove a pop truck in the summer, and that's where I grew up, and they were wonderful, actually wonderful parents.
And how many times, Harry, did you shovel snow that was knee-high?
We shoveled a lot of snow, and as a kid, I loved the snow. We loved snow days. We loved mountains of snow. We would burrow into those huge mountains by the side of the road. It was a blast.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Oh, my father burned into my brain, be good with people and have a marketable skill, period. And from my mother, be a nice person.
What were your interests as a kid?
Well, I was a kid for a long time, so my interests spanned the gamut of sheer playing outside with my friends in the neighborhood until my dad would whistle and it was time to come home. And then skiing. I got real into hiking and outdoor stuff from summer spent in camp. My father was a basketball coach, so I tried basketball and actually went to basketball camp with Dolph Shays. And at the time, Jim Boeheim was my basketball coach, and I was a 12-year-old kid. We were really bad, and I'm short and not that fast. Basketball was never my thing. So that's what it was like for me as a kid growing up. Pretty good. I didn't have any trauma to speak of whatsoever.
You went to Cornell University. You got a bachelor's degree in psychology. Cornell was started in 1865, Ithaca, New York, in the Ivy League. What makes that place so unique?
Well, I went to Cornell because, first of all, I got in. And getting into an Ivy League school is, you know, for me, oh my God, this is great. I didn't really feel like I belonged there, but I did once I got there. But it was so beautiful. The truth is that that campus was remarkable in its beauty, even in the wintertime. It is really, really a place that anybody should go see if they're considering an Ivy League school. But it is remarkably beautiful, set in the Finger Lakes, high up on a hill. And I loved both the experience, the environment, the people, and the education.
How'd you get from Buffalo and Ithaca to then moving to Ann Arbor, Michigan?
So after graduation, I knew that I wanted to help people. That was my chosen calling, and I wanted to go to graduate school. And I originally went to University of Michigan, the social work program. And once I was in the social work program, they had a joint doctoral program in social science and psychology. And so I continued on. Moving to Ann Arbor was easy because it was a college town like Ithaca, progressive, and I just found my way easily once I got here.
You then got a PhD in psychology from the University of Michigan and became a psychologist. What do all great psychologists have in common?
The ability to listen, to truly listen to other people, to truly understand what it is they're going through and how they can be helpful to them. That's what any great psychologist does, is listen deeply to what is spoken, what is unspoken, what is said, what is not said, and what can be done to help the people that you're talking to and, more importantly, listening to.
If there's couples in cars tonight, a lot of them are thinking, boy, if my mate would only listen to me, how do I really learn how to listen?
So it's a great question, Jack, but all of us can learn to be Olympic listeners. And what that means is work at it, practice, try, deeply, deeply understand what the person is saying and not saying. And how you do that, there's very, very specific techniques. Look the person in the eye. Stop talking. Put away your cell phone. Ask questions to understand what is not clear to you. And the practice of listening is looking at the person or deeply trying to understand what they're trying to say, because not everyone articulates what exactly they're feeling or thinking. And so our job as listeners is to probe, try and understand. And the practice for all of us, including myself as a trained professional, I can get better at this. I am better at this. And my wish and want is for everyone to lean into being a better listener to everyone in their lives.
We're talking to Dr. Harry Cohn, and for 10 years, he was a marital therapist. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about that chapter of his life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Harry Cohn. And for 10 years, he was a marriage therapist. So, doctor, if you could give couples tonight one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, God. If it's only one piece of advice, it is remember your mission. Your mission is to bring out the best in your partner, to do what would be so good for your partner, to help your partner be their best self, be happy, be fulfilled, be successful. If both are really intending to do that, they can make 1,000 mistakes. But if they're really trying to bring out the best in their partner, the marriage has a good chance of succeeding.
A few years ago, we had a Dr. Emerson Eggerich on. And he and his wife go around the country talking about, you know, married couples. And one thing that they said that really struck with me was, for the men, love your wife. And for the wives, respect your husband. That the woman wants love and the man wants respect.
So my view of this, and this is just my opinion, and that is that both men and women want something from their partners. Find out what it is and deliver that. There's lots of ways to show love and respect. Find out what your partner wants and deliver that if you can. But that requires listening. Sweetie, what is it that you would want? Well, X, Y, and Z. I can do that. What is it that you would want? I can do that. That's the key. Love and respect, for sure. But people express love differently, and people experience love differently. So try real hard to be there for your partner in whatever way, shape, or form you can.
How was it you got into executive coaching in 2000?
So as a marital and family therapist, I was doing my work, and one of my clients said, could you help teach or design an effective listening course? I said, of course. So I did that. And so I did effective listening training for corporate clients. And then someone said, could you do a stress management class or course? I said, of course. So I did that. So in my work as a trainer, teaching these very elementary, simple tools to executives, it became crystal clear to me that the process of executive coaching and good therapy is identical. And you make a lot more money as an executive coach than as a therapist. And you're focusing on people's health so that you can improve what they do well, as opposed to therapy, which is more people come in pain and suffering and they want, you know, relief from their difficulties. So the executive coaching work is more focused on improving what is already great in people and less focused on dysfunction and problems and issues that you want to redress.
So you're dealing with powerful executives, leaders.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them to open up and be vulnerable?
That's a great question.
Their weaknesses?
Well, one of the principles of human interaction is that when we are vulnerable, we create connections with other people. So the first thing you have to understand is that everything speaks. And my job is to create an environment where they feel safe, and I am as vulnerable and as honest and as authentic as I can possibly be with them. And by doing so, they feel, I can trust this guy, I can respect this guy, this guy is modeling something that I appreciate and get and understand. So talking isn't necessarily what gets through. What gets through is the feeling that people have as, you know, this person has got something that I can get from, I can use, I can benefit. That process of establishing both rapport and respect and connection takes effort on my part, because if I'm not able to connect with someone and they can't open up, I'm not doing my job. They have to be able to open up to me as I have to be able to open up to them, because we're going to talk about real things, no BS, in the service of doing good, being good, making a difference, period.
Talking about subjects, the heliotropic effect.
Yes.
Harry, what is it?
Okay, I love talking about this. So the heliotropic effect comes from the Greek word helio, meaning sun, but it's the tendency for all living systems to move towards energy which sustains life, which is why a plant tilts towards the sun when you place it in the windowsill. It is drawn to the energy which sustains life. And they found, researchers have found, that people are drawn to other people, positive energizers that uplift them. Conversely, just like salt on the roots of a plant, we recoil from people who are like that for us, negative energizers. The heliotropic effect is a naturally occurring phenomenon in nature and in interpersonal existence, which shows up in why we are drawn to and attracted to people who make us feel great, and why we don't like being around people who make us feel lousy. That's the heliotropic effect, and why the simple metaphor, be the sun, not the salt, is so simple and effective. And we can practice this stuff. We can get better at being heliotropic, at being more like the sun, by listening to our partner, by being compassionate, by being honest, vulnerable, authentic, grateful, kind, and a whole host of other virtues. It's basically us at our best being that deliberately. Now, some of us are just nice people without any effort. Well, that's great. And the rest of us have to work at being extra nice, extra kind, extra grateful, extra compassionate. So that's the point of this simple metaphor.
If you want to learn more, www.bethesunnotthesalt.com. All right, you've spoken an awful lot, written an awful lot about heliotropic leadership. And you talk about that there's six steps. Number one, compliment, praise, and recognize.
Well, anything. By the way, there are more than six steps, and there's lots of different ways. I've tried to create a simple, handy guide to remind us to be heliotropic, but for sure, anything that uplifts another person is what we should do more of. And there are lots of them, from being direct and kind and compassionate and grateful and saying please and thank you and holding the door and admitting your mistake and taking responsibility. These are just simple, obvious truths that we teach our children and that we want to demonstrate and model. So the point of this simple principle is keep it simple. Don't complicate it. How did you make someone feel? Answer that question. Did you make them feel good? Great. Do more of what you just did. Did you make them feel lousy? Yeah, I guess you did. Well, then don't do what you just did. So the key, Jack, is to pay attention to how you're impacting other people by looking at what your words or your deeds made them feel. Keep it simple, Jack.
Number two, every day do something to make your business better. And number three, take 5 minutes.
Oh, there's so many things that you can do to, let's just say, take 5 minutes and think about how you can improve any aspect of your life, any relationship in your life, any part of your life, and do something to improve that. That might mean send out a thank you note. It might mean clean up a mess that you've been avoiding. It might mean take on something that you know you need to fix. It could be anything, but if you think about that in your day and you say, did I do any good today? Answer that question. The question should be answered. Well, I guess so. No, not I guess so. Did you do some good? Yeah. I called a friend. I offered my hand. I answered a question that was asked of me. I responded quickly to an email. Or any of the ways that we are already incredibly helpful and kind and supportive of our colleagues and coworkers. Do that deliberately and take 5 minutes and reflect on your day. Could I be more helpful to someone in some way, shape, or form?
Number four, address what you have allowed.
Oh, my goodness. So all of us either create or allow what's around us in our lives. And if you don't like something that's in your life, how did it get there? You either put it there or you allowed it to get there. You know, dust. You know, how does dust show up in your room? Well, I don't know. Well, yes, you do. It just collects there. You allowed it to be there. You have to vacuum. You have to sweep. You have to clean it up. So when I say allowed, it's not a blame thing. It's, you know what? I've let that happen. I need to clean it up. So that's the thing around allow. It's not a blame thing. It's a clean it up.
One more. Remember self-care.
Oh, my goodness. My first book, Secrets of the Obvious, was more about self-care, but you can't do enough self-care. I'm not talking about vanity stuff. I'm not talking about plucking your eyebrows. I'm talking about all the ways that you can take care of yourself, from getting a good night's sleep, which is probably the most important, to eating healthy food and exercise. These are basic principles. Drinking enough water, watching your intake of substances that may or may not be good for you. I'm just giving a few. Self-care means, you know, monitoring your boundaries, not letting, you know, rodents into your garden. If the metaphor is you want to grow a healthy and thriving garden, well, you have to mulch, you have to water, you have to weed, and you have to fence it so you don't let, you know, varmints in the garden that'll destroy your garden. That means bad company. That means there's certain people that you need to pay attention to say, you know what, these people are not good for me. I need to, you know, limit my contact with them. That's self-care. But so is getting a good night's sleep, and so is meditation, and so is practicing mindfulness. These are all practices of self-care. Because again, you can't be your best self, your heliotropic self, if you're not taking care of yourself.
We're talking to Dr. Harry Cohen, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Harry Cohen, who's been an executive coach since 2000. Doctor, the greatest motivational speaker in the last 40 years was Zig Ziglar. First book he ever wrote, See You at the Top. 41 times in that book, he says, you can get everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And this is your belief, your theory. Are you telling me that's still true today?
I'm telling you it's 1,000% true, and it'll always be true. The science behind that is very, very real. When you help someone, you feel better immediately. The person you help feels better immediately. And a perfect stranger watching that exchange feels great just watching it. You can actually measure it in the bloodstream of the three people. It's profound, and it's contagious. So the secret to this, the secret to life, is to help people as much as you possibly can in any way, shape, or form. That's the key. And I would say that we can't do it enough. However we help people, fantastic. Do more of that.
Harry, I can't. It's just not who I am. It's not how I was raised.
I love that. Well, if you believe it, it must be true, even though it isn't true. I don't buy that's how I was raised. So raise yourself differently. You learn not to poop in your pants. At some point, you've learned some things. As we grow up, and at my ripe old age of 64, I've learned so many things that I used to do foolishly, and I'm still learning. So this notion of you can't change, you were born this way, that's just foolish. The growth mindset predicts success in life versus the fixed mindset. Again, this is empirical. The fixed mindset says, this is how I am, I can't change. The growth mindset says, I can change and improve and grow. Please just remember that every single one of us can change, improve, and grow. And with that understanding, lean into any virtue that you like and do more of that virtue. You're not going to be taller. I'm not going to be a great basketball player, no matter how hard I practice. But I can be a better person. That I can do. And frankly, all of us can. So that's the whole point. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being someone else. It's about being the best version of yourself. And just look at the last time that you were a wonderful person. That was you. Do that some more.
All right, your latest book, once again, Be the Sun, Not the Salt. Chapter 4, Show You Care. There's a very famous saying, don't tell me how much you know till you show me how much you care. How do I show that I care?
Love the question. The question itself is all you need. If you have that thought in your head, Jack, how do I show Mark, my producer, that I care for him? Do anything and watch his face. And I mean anything. You can do it in words. You can do it with gestures. You can do it with physical touch. You can do it with gifts. You can do all different ways to show someone that you care so that they feel that you care. And everybody's different in terms of showing someone that they care. But the whole point is, how does the person experience it? It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It matters that the person feels, you know what? I know he cared. I know he cares for me. And the only way we know it is because the other person made us feel that way. Do anything. Try anything.
Chapter 7, Apologize Well.
Oh, my God.
Not today.
Oh, the learning of how to apologize well is a real skill, and it's really important for all of us to understand how to apologize well. That means you made a boo-boo, so you genuinely express regret, remorse, and a feeling that you do not want to do that again, and you feel bad for what you did, period. Not, I'm sorry, but, I'm sorry that you feel that way, I'm sorry it happened, I'm sorry, I guess, I'm sorry for whatever I did. None of those are real apologies. Genuine apology makes the other person feel fantastic because the person takes responsibility for the transgression, for the boo-boo, owns it, doesn't shy away from it, and it is fantastic. If you listen to real apologies, it's fantastic. And by the way, when you are giving an apology, think long and hard about what you're about to say. And if you do feel regret and a certain sense of remorse, say so. If you don't apologize, because it ain't going to come out that way.
If you want to learn more, www.bethesunnotthesalt.com. Chapter 14, Don't be a complexifier.
So the way this is a dear friend who gave me that term. It's a made up word, but all it means is don't make things complex when you don't need to. What's the easiest way to make change for a dollar? It's not 100 pennies. It's 4 quarters. That's because most people will carry 4 quarters. Keep this whole thing simple. This whole idea of be the sun, not the salt, of heliotropic leadership is simple. Be your best self. When you're at your best, what does that look like? Do more of that. Period. Smile at a stranger, hold the door, pay for someone's coffee in the Starbucks line. Look for opportunities to uplift people in any way that you can. That's what I mean by don't complexify this. Don't make this something that it's going to take a lot of work. I'm going to have to overcome all my childhood issues. Forget about it. Just be nice to the person next to you. Period. That's what I mean by don't complexify this. Don't make this something that it's going to take a lot of work. No, it isn't.
All the people I know that are very happy have learned how to live chapter 16. Speak fluent gratitude.
Frankly, if there was one thing that I would say is to remember from this entire book, it's that, which is to speak gratitude, be grateful, practice gratitude, look for opportunities to count your blessings, and express that internally and externally. Cultivating gratitude is an active practice. Cultivate means you till the soil, you fertilize and water and weed and plant, and that is what cultivating gratitude means. Speaking fluent gratitude means, thank you. I really appreciate this, Jack. I really do. The fact that we're doing this, the fact that you're helping me spread this, I really want you to know how much I appreciate this.
We're talking to Dr. Harry Cohen. One more, chapter 26, fill in the potholes. You are in Michigan. Fill in the potholes.
So, okay. This, you know, there's a beautiful little parable of a man who walks down a street and he, you know, doesn't see the pothole. He falls in, skins his knees, angry, gets up and walks down. That's one chapter early in his life. Later on in his life, second chapter, he walks down the same street, doesn't see the pothole, and he falls in again and he curses. Years later, he walks down the street and he goes around the pothole. He feels very victorious that he didn't fall in the pothole. Years later, he's even wiser than that, and he doesn't even go down that street to be, you know, tempted to fall in the pothole. Better yet is the guy who goes back to the street and fills in the pothole of the street he never walks down. The metaphor is do something to help someone when you don't even have to. Just this morning, I was talking to a dear friend, and she had her daughter who was diagnosed with a medical condition years ago. And she offered to the hospital to be of service to any family whose daughter or son got diagnosed with this condition to help them with going through the perils of that medical condition and the life that they will lead. And she's offering her help to those patients when she doesn't have to. And I was so inspired by it, and I want to do the exact same thing. That's an example of filling in the potholes of a street you never walk down. She doesn't have to offer her help to families who might come in contact with the condition that her daughter did. But that's what I mean by going out of your way to fill in the pothole of a street you never walked down. You don't have to do that. But the idea is to look for opportunities to help people when you don't have to.
We're talking to Dr. Harry Cohen. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about walking down Main Street and a specific address in Main Street in Ann Arbor. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Harry Cohn. And since 2007, he's owned the Black Pearl Restaurant in Ann Arbor, 302 South Main Street. Harry, what do you know about the restaurant business?
I know nothing about the restaurant business, but I've learned over the last 10 years plenty. But the basic principle is take care of your people and they will take care of your customers. Create a great environment where people feel uplifted to come, both employees and customers. And if we do all those things right, do service, create great food and great drink and great ambiance and take care of each other, people will feel those vibes and have a great experience. And maybe we'll make a buck.
When we were all young kids, all of us ate as a family. Let's talk about families. Families that have millennials. What do you say to parents with millennials?
Never give up on them. Never give up on them. Never give up on them. Now, when they get to about the age of 30, it's a different type of parenting, obviously, and you have to parent differently at different ages, okay? So a 2-year-old is not a 10-year-old, is not a 20-year-old, is not a 30-year-old. But the parenting skills are required. You have to bring out the best in those children at different ages and stages, the best you possibly can. There's a million ways. What I would say is to be loving and demanding. A combination of, I gotcha, my brother, my sister, and, hey, you need to go to bed. It's 9 o'clock. So the combination of being loving and supportive and demanding is what great parenting and great leadership is about.
How does a parent give a child or a young adult true self-confidence?
Oh, boy. That process takes place over many, many years. But the process of building a young person's self-confidence is in 1,000 interactions. It's not one, it's not two, it's not three. But it starts with what I said earlier. I love you enough to tell you the truth, and I love you enough to set boundaries. Here's what I expect of you. Here's what I think you can do. And I got your back no matter what. Always building on their strengths and not ignoring their weaknesses, but they should come away feeling that their parents love them, support them, and want the best for and from them. So that's how you breed confidence in young people. You keep trying to tell them stuff and show them stuff that brings out their best.
A number of years ago, we had a Dr. Joe White, Kanakuk Ministries, fabulous man, made the statement, parents today, in the mistaken name of love, try to prevent their kids from the very things who made the parents who they are today.
My dad had we all have different things that our parents have said to us that stick in our heads. As I told you, you know, be good with people, have a marketable skill. And one of the things he said to me is, learning has to come as the result of an emotional experience. He said that 100 million times, a significant emotional experience, which means falling down and skinning your knee is part of the learning process. You have to make mistakes. You have to learn sometimes the hard way. And if we can, oh boy, avoid real tragedies, but the learning process of parenting is helping our kids navigate those mistakes so that the learnings from those mistakes are indelible and good.
If there's a parent tonight who says, Harry, my 25-year-old, I'm ashamed, but I'm fearful to do anything for what he or she might do. This fear paralyzes me. What do you say?
I would say to that parent to seek out wise counsel from friends or their religious community or professional to help navigate this very difficult time of raising children. There are right things to do and wrong things to do. Knowing what's right and what's wrong as a parent is a process of experience, maturity, trial and error, and wisdom. So there isn't a formula for parenting, a formula for raising children. It's a question of your child and you and their environment and the culture you've created and their judgment. All of those things have to be taken into consideration. I would say don't give up. You're not doing it alone. It takes a village. So seek out other people who can help you, give you wise counsel and advice with your particular child. Every child is different. Generalizing is very, very dangerous. So look for people who can give you sound advice and do what works.
If there's a listener tonight that says, Harry, your message of be kind, encourage people, listen, give, makes sense, but I'm tired and I'm beaten down, Harry. The world we're living in, that's not what we're seeing.
Oh, I love that one. So if you're tired and beaten down, go take a nap. Go get rested. Replenish. If you're tired, you're not going to be your best self. So if you're beaten down, get unbeaten down. If you're tired, get some rest. The world is going to be exactly as it is. It's not what happens to us, it's how we take it. So if you want the world to change, forget about it. The world isn't going to change. You can change. And you and me, we can be our best self as best we can. You're not going to be perfect. But if you're tired, it's good that you know that you're tired. Go get some rest and go back at it, okay?
Speaking of being our best self, as our time winds down this evening, what advice do you give to our young listeners?
The advice I would give to any young listener, and I asked you, well, how young do you mean? Well, 15 to 30. I would say, no matter what happens to you, good or bad, you make your business to make the best of it. Period. Full stop. All kinds of things are going to happen to you that you have no control over. That's a fact. Control what you can control. Try as best you can to surround yourself with really good company. Be as good company as you can be to other people. Help as many people as you can. And as far as I can tell, that's the secret to life. Help others. Be your best self more often.
Dr. Harry Cohen, thanks for being the sun to everyone you meet each day. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohem.
Believe in yourself.